Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. Our call to worship is sanctuary, and this is actually a kind of a prayer asking God to make us a sanctuary for Him. Normally we think about sanctuary being the building that we worship in, but it's also a dwelling place that we create inside of our hearts. And this song asks God to prepare our hearts and to make them clean. So we want to start the service today with this prayer, that our hearts may be prepared to hear God's message for us.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. It's nice to have you here. Got a few visitors. Where are you guys from? Minneapolis. Yeah, what brings you to the lake? Grandma.
Grandma.
You got to keep an eye on Grandma. How about you folks? Where are you from?
Maple Grove.
Maple Grove. Welcome to the lake. How you doing? Bringing the Maple Grove people to this little country pumpkin church? Yeah, good. Nice to have you back. Yeah. At the first service, Dean and Linda Newman, they've been sick all winter, and they were in church with the Walkers and whatnot, but they wanted to thank our congregation for their prayers, for their love, for their support. And it occurred to me that our congregation really does well looking after each other. Because we're 80% retired, maybe more than that even these days, we have people who have gone through bad diseases, divorces, fought their addictions, raised troubled kids, lost jobs, and most of them have moved up here, so you guys know what it is to be hurting and to be alone, and you rally around each other and support one another and care for one another, and that's the body of Christ. That's what Jesus, we are Jesus, and it's nice to have you here, and it's nice to be a part of this congregation. Nice to have visitors with us too, so that's kind of what our lessons are about today. What prompts that is, this week we had, yesterday I did a wonderful wedding for Steve Lackner and Melody. Steve's 58, 59, like that. Finally found the love of his life. He's floating around here like a little butterfly. Recovering Catholic, sweating like a dog. Because he was committing to marriage. But then, in the last few days, our friend Gloria Christensen was in a bad accident and broke some of her vertebrae. She's being fitted for a brace now, but she'll be okay. And our friend Ivan Peterson had a heart attack. He's down at St. Cloud Hospital. Life goes on. Yeah. I mean, this is life. And we are the body of Christ to help each other down the journey. So if you need a release from all the cares and concerns of life, Friday night and Saturday night is our Malmo Jamboree. Malmo Jamboree is our version of Hee-Ha. The music is going to be great. All the one-act plays and stuff like that, I can't guarantee. Some of it's pretty corn pony, you know, but if you want to just forget about life, come on over to the Jamboree, 7 o'clock Friday night, Saturday night. Confirmation is starting a week from Wednesday, so those kids. Anybody else who wants to take a look at Lutheran doctrine and how the Lutheran Church was formed and our understanding of the Bible and so forth, you're always welcome. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Everyone's invited to that. It's nice to have you here. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh, Lord, our Heavenly Father, you are a wonderful God, and you do love us unconditionally. Some of us gather this morning with heavy hearts. Some of us come full of joy and life. Other of us are just trying to make it through the day. Yet you love each one of us as if we're the only one. And so we pray that our hearts might be open to receive your Spirit, to allow your Spirit to stir our hearts today. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our first song is All of My Life. As Christians, we strive to always do the right things and live the right way so that we can live an abundant life in Christ. This song tries to give us some direction on how we can do that each day.
Please rise and turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Let us be honest with ourselves, our God, and with each other, and confess our sins in order that we might receive the forgiveness of God and experience the joy of the community of Christ. Let us confess together. God, we sin by what we think, what we say, and what we do. We continue to pull away from you, even though you love us with an everlasting love. Today in worship, we recognize our failures and our weaknesses. We confess our sins as brothers and sisters in Christ who need your power and forgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak his word to you. I belong to you as you belong to me. I am one through your life. I forgive your wrongs, and with that forgiveness, give you power to change your condition as you live lives which are pleasing in my sight. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious God, throughout the ages you transform sickness into health and death into life. Open us to the power of your presence and make us a people ready to proclaim your promises to the whole world. Through Jesus Christ, our healer and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Our anthem today is called Go Light Your World, and it's done by an artist called Chris Rice. In Matthew 5:14-16, it says, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before all men, that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven." We all have a candle inside of our hearts. Hope for you today is that we can light that candle so that it's a light for Jesus in the lives of all those that we come in contact with every day.
Frustrated brother,
from the book of James. Faithful Christians, do not show partiality to the rich and the powerful of the world, especially at the expense of the poor and the weak. Likewise, faith does not pay mere lip service to God's will. Instead, a living Christian faith expresses itself in acts of compassion and mercy for those in need. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes to your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes, and if you take notice to the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Here, have a seat here, please," while to the other poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be the rich in faith and to be heirs for the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? Today's psalm is Psalm 146. Please read the bold print, and when you see the bold R, read the refrain, "I will praise the Lord as long as I live." Hallelujah! Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in rulers, in mortals in whom there is no help.
When they breathe their last, they return to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish. I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps promises forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captives free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and the widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah. I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel this morning comes from the 7th chapter of St. Mark, beginning with the 24th verse. In Mark's gospel, encounters with women usually signify turning points in Jesus' ministry. Here, a conversation with a Syrophoenician woman marks the beginning of his mission to the Gentiles. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard from him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee to the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech. They begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. School has begun. I enjoyed reading a little article about first day of school. out in a very wealthy neighborhood, sounded like Hollywood, out in California. The teacher gave her fifth graders a topic to write a page report on the topic, poverty. So this one little fifth grader wrote this. Once there was a poor little girl. Her father was poor. Her mother was poor. Her nanny was poor. Her chauffeur was poor. Her butler was poor. Everybody in the mansion was poor. Going through my archives this week, I found a cartoon, Peanuts cartoon. Snoopy standing out in the snowstorm. He's got a grim look on his face. He's cold and he's hungry. And he looks longingly into the house. In the next frame, out comes Lucy. Lucy's got the bowl, but there's nothing in it. And Lucy stands and says, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled." And then she turns around and walks back into the house. And Snoopy, shivering, hungry, baffled, wonders what's going on. Go in peace, be warmed and filled. Last week, if you were here, you heard a story about a poor man dressed in smelly rags who came to this fancy church. No one paid him, never mind, and kind of set him in the corner under the window. The next week he came in a brand new expensive suit and they treated him like a king. All these stories come into play when we read our lesson from James, where James writes, "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, they must not show favoritism," James says. Suppose a man comes to your meeting wearing gold and fine clothes and a poor man, filthy clothes, comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here, have a good seat," but you say to the poor man, "Stand there or sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? And James says, "Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him?" This is the one place where the teachings of Christ definitely clash with the teachings of our world, of society, how we treat the poor. The discrepancy is apparent in the question that we sometimes ask about people, a question which we apparently don't give too much thought. The question is this. We might ask of someone, "How much do you think that person is worth? How much do you think they're worth?" What we're asking is, how much money do you think these folks have in the bank? But think about how we ask that question. How much do you think he or she is worth? Truth of the matter is, we value a person of wealth more than we value a person who doesn't have any money. I wonder why we do that. That's what I've been thinking about this week. How we got to be where we are, huh? It may be because we aspire to be wealthy ourselves. We want to have it all. It's only natural. We want fine things for our life ourselves, and so we admire people who do surround themselves with fine things, and we want to associate with them. Maybe we think it's going to rub off. Maybe we'll get some ideas or hit the new stock market quote or whatever. It might rub off on us. Some of you remember a famous preacher named Harry Emerson Fosdick. He was a pastor of the Riverside Church in New York City. His remark one day was, "Our grandparents were reared to say, 'What shall I do to be saved?' And then he said, 'Nowadays, this generation has been raised to say, what shall I do to be successful? What do I need to do to be successful?'" And that's a common attitude in our time. What do we need to do to be successful? Above all else, we want to be successful. We want to have nice things, and so we admire those who already have nice things. Of course, for many people of wealth, it's because grandparents made the big bucks. They're the ones who climbed the ladder. They didn't have to do too much to earn it themselves. But we disregard that. All that matters is that they have what we want. And so we value them. Besides, sometimes we may need to gain the favor of the wealthy people. You know, it's not what you know, but who you know. We've heard that said. They can open doors for you, and so we treat them with respect. The poor, they can't do that, and so they kind of get pushed to the bottom of our priorities. We kind of devalue them. Maybe we treat the poor differently because they make us feel guilty. How many of you have ever been asked for some money, begged on the street, gone to Minneapolis or Chicago or any of those places? Maybe it's because we turn them away and we feel guilty, or maybe we think that they're inferior. Get a job. The rest of us, you know, this is America. Get a job. I suspect we've all had experiences that make us feel a little different about how we treat the poor. And then we have the teachings of Jesus. Did you know Jesus' first public sermon, Matthew chapter 5? Blessed are you who are poor, huh? Blessed are you when you're hungry. Blessed are you when you mourn. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for my sake, when people hate you. Then we encounter Jesus' parable about the sheep and goats. You all are familiar with it. When the Son of Man comes in all his glory and all his angels with him, he will sit down on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered around him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And you know the rest. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And he closes by, inasmuch as if you have done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Lord, when did we do it? When you took care of the hungry, when you visited those in the hospitals and jails. And as much as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. This is where the teachings of Jesus clash with the values of society. It's how we view the poor. And Scripture is clear. Our closeness to God is reflected in how we treat those who are less fortunate than ourselves. That's true in the Old Testament. That's true in the New Testament. Even in today in the Psalm, how you treat the widows and orphans finds favor in God's eyes. There's an ancient legend told in Jewish circles. The Israelites were wandering in the desert after being freed from slavery. They had set up camp somewhere. The people came to Moses and said, "Can you ask God to join us for a special meal?" And he said, "God doesn't appear that way to me." "Well, ask him anyway." So Moses climbed the mountain and asked God if he would join the Israelites for a meal. God said, "I guess I can do that. I'll come tomorrow." So the people heard the message that God is going to join them. They were slicking up the tents, cleaning up the place, making the finest foods, bringing out the finest dinnerware. As they were doing that, an old man came and asked for a handout, and they said, "We don't have time right now, mister. Can you just go away for a while, and we'll take care of you later?" That evening, when they were expecting God to join them for dinner, no one showed up. So Moses went up the mountain the next day and said, "God, how come you didn't come?" He says, "I did come. Did you see that old man there? If you would have fed that old man, you would have fed me." Scripture is very, very clear. Our closeness to God is reflected in how we treat the less fortunate. An evangelist friend of mine, he said he always asks the question, what is the most famous biblical text in America about the poor? What's the most famous biblical text among the poor? And he says, by far and away, the one that comes out is Jesus speaking, "You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." That's when the woman was using the expensive ointment to anoint Jesus' feet. "You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The reason Jesus' disciples always have the poor with them is that's their job. To minister to society's rejects, to the marginalized in society. "You'll always have the poor with you because you're my disciples." Jesus assumed his followers would continually maintain their care and concern for poor people. Hmm. Our closeness to God is reflected in how we treat those less fortunate than ourselves. And the truth is that some of us are really not that close to God. We will remember them in our prayers, but we don't often remember them in our actions. And that's where the teachings of Jesus clash definitely with the values of society, how we view the poor. Scriptures is clear. Our closeness to God is reflected in how we treat the less fortunate than ourselves. One more thing needs to be said. The mark of a follower of Jesus is to be kind and compassionate to all people, regardless of their station in life. Everybody is somebody. God loves everybody. This isn't a class warfare sermon. We're to treat all people with love and respect, and we're called to be servants of all. That's next week's sermon. Come on back, part two. That's how we best show our love for Christ. I heard an interesting story a pastor friend of mine told. Once upon a time, there was a squire who desired to be a knight. One day, his greatest wishes became true, and he was knighted. He loved that day and loved the king so much that he made a vow that he would bow his knees and lift his arms in homage only to the king and no one else. He'd bow his knees and lift his arms only to the king. The knight was given the task of guarding the city on the frontier, to guard the city gates. And so that's where he was every day, month after month, year after year. During that time, a peasant woman was pushing her cart. The axle broke. Out fell all of her vegetables, the potatoes and the onions and the carrots and the cabbages. And she looked up and asked the knight if he would help her. And he said, "I'm sorry, I've taken a vow that I would never bend a knee or bend my arm to anyone except the king." Another time, a one-legged man came back and his crutch broke. And he looked up and begged the knight to help. He says, "I'm sorry, I've taken a vow that I will only bend my knee or lift my arm in honor of the king." A few years later, his grandson was born. His grandson reached up and said, "Grandpa, Grandpa, can you pick me up and take me to the fair?" He said, "I'm sorry, my dear grandson. I've taken a vow to the king. I must never bend my knee or lift my arm for anyone else." So this is years and years later. The king is doing an inspection and he comes to see the knight. Yes, the knight is wanting to bend his knee and lift his arm before the king to pay honor to the king, but he's unable to do so and he starts to cry. The king says, "You are the most noble knight in my kingdom. Why are you crying, my son?" And the knight says, "I have taken the vow to only bend my knee in homage to you. And I've kept my promise, but because I have not done this in years, all of my joints in my armor are rusted, and I can't bend my knee." And with a loving voice of a parent, the king replied, "Perhaps if you had knelt to help all those who passed by and lifted your arms to embrace all those who came to you, you would have been able to keep your vow to pay me homage this day." As I think about that story, there are some of us who are in danger of not just rusted knees and rusted arms, but a rusted heart. Our hearts will make a pitiful offering to Christ someday because we've not exercised them in acts of kindness or compassion for all people. And so we have James talking to us today, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. You must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes to your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes. And a poor man in filthy clothes also comes. You say to the rich man, "Please take a seat of honor." And to the poor man, "Sit on in this corner or sit at my feet." Have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? That's what James asks us. And he reminds us, "Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich and to inherit the kingdom that is promised?" Something for us to ponder as we continue our journeys here. How are we living our lives? Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite the praise team to lead us again in song. We'll ask the ushers to receive our morning offering. And let us join together in the offertory prayer on page 4. Let us pray. God, giver of every good and perfect gift, we thank you for the daily blessings of life, for food and family, for friends and neighbors, for the gift of life itself, we give you thanks. Bless these offerings of our treasure, that they may be used wisely in your service. Amen. As disciples of Christ Jesus called to love and serve all people, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for a silent prayer. Holy Spirit, you gather your church into an ever-widening community of faith. Release our tongues to proclaim your saving deeds to the world. Lord, in your mercy. God of the universe, you made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them. We pray for the well-being of springs and deserts, forests and mountains, creatures and plants. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you give food to those who hunger and justice to those who are oppressed. Bless the rulers and rich of every nation who do not rob the poor, but generously share their bread. Lord, in your mercy. God of mercy and healing, you open the eyes of the blind and lift up the lowly. Sustain all who are sick, grieving, or in any need. We especially lift up before you our friends Gloria Christensen, Ivan Peterson, Gary Miller, Chuck Hines, and those who we name in our hearts before you who need your healing touch. For you are their help and strength. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, you command us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Open our hearts to care for the stranger and welcome everyone into your assembly with honor and dignity. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing Steve and Melody together. Bless their marriage. Bless them with a long and happy life together. We ask your protection for the Koski family who serves in South Sudan. Be with them as they serve you. We ask your blessing to be with our families and friends wherever they find themselves today. Remind them that your love will never end and that they will always be welcome in your presence. We praise you, O Lord, for the witness of those who have gone before us. May we too be inheritors of the kingdom that you have promised to those who love you. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayers, faithful God, and renew us by your Spirit, that we may joyfully love and serve you and one another, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. We'll invite the praise team to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. Hearts before the Lord and receive His benediction. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is When the Roll is Called Up Yonder.
Thank you.